time to look forward once again to some more films releasing over the Christmas holiday special, and this one by a Polish-British director, inspired by his parents, called Cold War.
Dwa serduszka, cztery oczy, oj, oj, oj. Co płakały we dnie w nocy, oj, oj, oj. Czarne oczka, co płaczecie, że się spotkać nie możecie, że się spotkać.
That's music from the soundtrack of Cold War, a new film from the Polish-born British writer-director Paweł Pawlikowski, about a couple in love whose lives pull them in separate directions. He's a composer, she's a singer, and their story unfolds across different European cities against the backdrop of the immediate post-war decades. It's shot in moody, sultry black and white, just like his previous film, Ida, and it's dedicated to Pawlikowski's parents. Here he is discussing the inspiration for the story.
It was this kind of couple that couldn't live together and couldn't live apart, and certain mechanics in my parents' relationship were repeated here. You know, the fact that, I mean, there's all sorts of obstacles in their lives, you know, living in Poland, which wasn't easy at the time. But then when things are more possible between them, they still manage to ruin it. They're temperamentally mismatched and slightly different age as well. So it was the kind of the mechanics of the relationship and the fact that they changed countries, changed partners, got back together again, then split up again, then got back together again, and they still managed to die together relatively happily. So that, for me, was like the matrix of all love stories in a way. I wasn't aware of it because I just kind of experienced it and saw it. But very often, when I came across good love stories, I thought, but they're nowhere near as interesting and contorted and romantic as my parents' story. You know, so they just kind of, they were the starting point. So I thought about doing not exactly their story, but that kind of story for a long time. It's, of course, very difficult to tell a film that spans so many years. You know, you have to, lives are so complicated and there's so many twists and turns which are not interesting either. So I just kind of reduced it to something that takes only 14 years in time, and the twists and turns are major, but they're not that many. So my parents were the starting point.
It's interesting that of course this film, you can approach this story from many ways. I think you can approach it as a kind of political film of sorts, or a portrait of a certain political time in Europe, and the border crossing as well. Obviously, puts in all the border crossing that happens in the film, the migration kind of foregrounds a lot of issues. But I particularly love Victor, this especially flawed character. I mean, they're both flawed, of course, but the way you show how his life in the West and in Paris comes at a cost, and it's a cost to his character, the way he holds himself as a man, even the way, there's a wonderful line, it cuts to the bone, even the way he makes love. What is that cost?
Well, he's trying to, you know, he's trying to adapt. He's you know, he's in a foreign environment, which he chose. You know, he left Poland to exactly be where he ends up being, in Paris, and, you know, he speaks French, he kind of understands more or less how it works. It doesn't come natural entirely to be French, so he's kind of catching up and trying to, twisting and turning, trying to adapt in that environment at some cost. And and by the time she comes and joins him in Paris, she doesn't recognize the guy she fell in love with in Poland. You know, that happens a lot when couples change countries or change context they live in. So, everything comes at a cost. I mean, you know, every choice leads to some consequences.
But there's
she feels very, you know, when she comes to Paris, of course, she's less adaptable. She doesn't come from this upper middle class with that kind of pre-war education. She comes from the wrong side of the tracks in Poland. So in Paris, you know, she's got two options. Either she treats them all as idiots, you know, pretentious snobs, and looks down at them, or she feels inferior, which she doesn't want to because she's a tough cookie, or she leaves. All these, you know, if you've been an exile, you know, as I have been and my parents have been, you know these situations.
Yeah.
It'll ring a bell with many people, I think.
I found it interesting in the film. I mean, there's wonderful music of all kinds in this film, but obviously the Polish folk music tradition is central to this story, especially at the beginning. And it strikes me that there's an ambivalence, which is very rich in the film. On the one hand, your film points out how the folk music tradition becomes this music of the regime in a way, and it's manipulated and distorted. And I imagine that it's kind of slightly tarnished by that to this day. But later, and of course later when the film transfers to Paris, we hear the wonderful American music like jazz or rock and roll.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and it's thrilling and refreshing. On the other hand, though, the way you film the popular folk music, the dancing, the energy of the sound on the soundtrack is undeniably attractive at the same time. I mean, you yourself sort of torn between loving it and hating it in a way, this music.
Well, I don't hate it at all these days, you know, but these days, you know, when it's so swept up in nostalgia for a better analog world, you know, for real bodies in space producing sound and or moving, creating vibrations, you know, so I have a huge nostalgia for that. I kind of resented it when I lived in Poland in the 60s and early 70s, and that folk music was used as a kind of, like the people's music, you know, was really favored and was all over the radio station to the detriment of rock music or jazz music that was seen as decadent and Western, you know. So, but when you actually hear it these days, you know, especially when you hear it live, it's quite mind blowing. But you know, with time, you know, even ABBA I love these days, you know. So they were the pain of my youth, you know. So. You can discover things and, you know, things that, again, talking about context, you know, the different contexts, you know, reveal different things in music.
That was Pavel Pavlovsky talking about his film Cold War, which releases on Boxing Day, but it's sneaking around the country at the moment. You're listening to RN. The show is The Hub on Screen. My name is Jason DeRosso, and in the studio with me talking about films of this holiday season are film critics Luke Goodsell from The Monthly and ABC Arts Online, and Philippa Hawker from The Australian. Philippa, Cold War, I know, is one of your favourites of this holiday season.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Not as much as his earlier film that he made in Poland either, which I really liked. I think, and it, obviously they have certain things in common because it was black and white and Academy ratio as well. But I thought it was interesting hearing him talk about, you're both talking about the Victor, because I loved the character of Zula. I thought she was just an absolutely voracious character that just tore scenes apart. There's wonderful things that she does. There's a dance sequence to Rock Around the Clock, which is just is wonderful. She's such a fabulous opportunistic figure.
She's a Fellinian kind of figure in some ways too, with that sort of tussled white, bleached white 60s hair, and in most scenes, in most periods of her career. Joanna Kulig, yeah, she's a great character. It's another film from a director inspired by his childhood, like Roma, shot in black and white, sort of achingly nostalgic in a way.
Do you mean that a little bit negatively?
No. Positively. Mm-hmm. I think these are both quite beautiful films.
Yeah. No, I mean, I really like that whole sort of love will tear us apart again kind of dynamic that the film has, where, you know, I really like the way that the sort of elliptical nature. It's quite a short film, Cold War, and yet it really does kind of reduce things down in a very sharp and intense way, but also quite languid as well.
It does sort of reference a lot of post-war cinema and Polish cinema, I think, in an obvious way. And you know, it's black and white, and you know, it reminds you of cinema of Wajda and Polanski and so forth. Perhaps it's not quite for me as emotively strong as it might have been. There remains for me maybe a little bit of artifice of style that sort of blocks me from connecting completely to it. But I agree, it's a wonderful film. Luke, just your thoughts on Cold War as a...
I tend to agree with you. I mean, I felt the same about Ida to some extent. I mean, they're both very beautiful, very striking films. Again, just, I'm quite appreciative of his style and what he's trying to do. I mean, it's interesting him talking about that sort of scope of time and history. It just wasn't quite for me. But, you know, it's fine. I mean, Roma's good too, I think, to that extent.
Roma, to me, though, is one of the great films of the year, and it'll be in my top five, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But just that story of a middle-class family and a divorce and a maid and all these sorts of intimate stories interwoven into a broader story of the early 70s in Mexico with the politics on the street and the violence and these wonderful, long, poetic shots. I just found that extraordinary. I think they're two great films to see, actually, over this coming period. I mean, Roma may not still be in cinemas come Boxing Day, but they're both good to see almost back-to-back, don't you think?
Roma's on Netflix tomorrow.
Roma's on Netflix tomorrow, that's right.
But you can, there are still some cinemas where you can see it, I think, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer out of the two, Philippa? If you were to... I mean, it's apples and oranges, been away.
Roma, but, yeah. Between Roma and Cold War.
Well, how would you describe the difference?
Well, I mean, I think I'd probably go for Roma, just because of its the sort of expansive nature of it, rather than that sort of distilled and slightly kind of removed. I mean, I agree with you that there is a kind of just art of sort of quite slight restraint about it that I actually liked the sort of the withholding of it, but you know, no, Roma's are more expansive and interesting and all over the place, and it kind of just a much broader scope. I mean, you know, that Cold War kind of almost sort of treats the politics of the era as just the background. I mean, that's the nature of it. In a way, I think it's what it is. I mean, it's really important in the lives of those characters, but it kind of isn't the focus of the film.
No, but certainly the opening bit of it is, you know, when they discover this young girl singer, this amazing talent, from this peasant community, and just the whole machinations of the party and the way that they would take folk music traditions and turn them into this travelling circus, like a kind of Stalin-esque version of the X Factor or something.
Oh, yeah.
That's all quite there. Fascinating. I found that fascinating at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, that's sort of the hustle that everyone's involved with, absolutely. Yes,
the notion of Soviet hustle, Soviet-era hustling is, I think, quite forcefully depicted.
The new David O. Russell film, Soviet Hustle.
Soviet Hustle would be quite interesting. All right, but that is Cold War. It is sneaking around the country at the moment. And Roma, which we mentioned there too, is also in limited release around the country, and I recommend both. But Cold War gets its wider release on Boxing Day.